35,000 lives, 90 minutes, no extra time. We are the SpyFi guys, and this is Final Score.
Welcome to the SpyFi guys.
So I apologize to the universe for that.
Yeah. Wow.
Justice for Dennis M.
Is it though?
I laughed and then I hated myself for laughing.
Welcome back to the SpyFi guys, where we cover spy facts, spy fiction, and everything in between. I'm Christian.
And I'm Zach.
And to tie into the World Cup fever that has gripped not just America, but of course the whole world, we want to do something fun. So we're doing Final Score, starring Dave Bautista, which is one of like soccer tie-in movies that had the kind of a spy element, the other being Escape to Victory from 1981, but that's a prisoner of war story, and we just did The Great Escape, so I wanted to do something different. Maybe we'll save that for the Women's World Cup next year.
I must say, it's nice to have you back, Christian. Last episode was just not the same without you. And yeah, today's movie is Final Score, and not The Final Score, which is what I thought it was, but it's just Final Score. Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about our background with soccer. So I understand you're a big soccer fan.
I don't want to say a big soccer fan. I am a fan. I'm not a lifelong fan. I'm a relatively new convert in that it was the 20 World Cup that really got me into it, actually. And it was actually, you were there, Zach, when it happened.
I was there in 2018?
Yes. You know where we were? We were at our friend Kelly's beach house.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happened to turn on the TV, and it was who was that shootout? It was an England game. Hold on, I have to know.
So basically, while Christian's looking that up, the point is, by American standards, he's a huge fan.
No, I know. Actually, we both know some bigger fans, including our friend Matthew, who was responsible for this podcast in a way.
Mm-hmm.
He is a huge football fan. Must have been England, Croatia. That's not the one. It was a game that went to shootouts. Now I don't remember which one. Wow. Anyways, it was one of the World Cup games that went to shootouts. I got gripped by the drama of it. And yeah, so it was a lot of fun. The next World Cup happened to fall when I had paternity leave, so I got to watch a bunch of this. But I feel like this is the World Cup I've seen the most games, mainly because we had a bracket on the line. And want me to tell them our rankings in our bracket,
sure.
Zach? So I'm number one. Zach is 8 out of 9.
Hey, at least I'm not 9 out of 9.
So we are recording this before the third place, you know, consolation prize round, which had England and France.
And the final, which is tomorrow.
And the final, which is tomorrow, which has Spain and Argentina. Now, Zach's final matchup in our bracket, he had Portugal and Netherlands.
You know, Portugal is next to Spain.
I mean, you know, I'll give you Portugal because they had Cristiano Ronaldo, but Netherlands?
I don't know. I did my research.
I don't know if they made it out of the group round, actually. Anyways, I had England and France with England as the eventual winner for my bracket. Now, I was right on the matchup. I was just wrong on which game it'd be.
That's pretty good, though. And where are you on the bracket? Are you
first? Number one. I'm number one.
Good. Well,
I got really lucky with a lot of group round points.
Well, that's good. It should go to the person who cares the most.
All right. So, yeah. So what's your history with soccer or football?
I played it in fourth grade.
Okay. All right.
I was part of the participation trophy generation. So draw what conclusions you like about that. And then if someone invites me to a game or turns a game on, I'll watch it.
Mm.
But I won't go out of my way to watch it, probably.
I see. Okay.
And I'll probably try to watch the final tomorrow if things work out.
Yeah.
How about yourself?
So I'm repping my England 3 Lions shirt right here.
Yeah, I've seen those around.
Yeah. Didn't come home this year. We got another 4 years.
Plot synopsis.
But shall we get into this movie and why it has football in it?
Yeah, let's get into Final Score. So, as always, we have our poetry plot synopses, and we begin with our haiku for Final Score. Die hard with soccer. Sokovia, like from Marvel.
Okay.
Don't trust teenage boys.
I like it. I like it. All right.
Thank you. I think that encapsulates the movie, but here's a little bit more with our limerick for final score. Uncle Mike just wants to save Danny, and Arcady just wants to find Dimitri. They went under the floor and put in C4, but in the end, it's all about family.
Nice, nice. Where's Vin Diesel when we need him?
It kind of did remind me of that. And then, of course, here's the real IMDb plot summary. Mm-hmm. After deadly terrorists abduct his niece at a soccer match, an ex-soldier with lethal fighting skills wages a one-man war to save her and prevent mass destruction.
Okay.
That's not entirely accurate, but yeah. Whatever.
No, it is. I mean, it is. You called it out in the haiku. This is Die Hard in a soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Or a correct. Football stadium, rather.
Right, even down to John McClane / Uncle Mike Dave Bautista dropping a dead body onto some cops in order for them to finally notice what's happening.
Yep, yep. I will say it was bold to try to rhyme Dimitri and Danny.
They both end with E.
Okay. All right, but let's get into it.
So the first thing I noticed in the opening credits, mm-hmm. or the opening, like, production, which there are, like, 8 production slides, which is never a good sign. But one of them is Saban Films.
Yeah, of Power Rangers fame.
Correct, yeah. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. But we start with a newscast about the Russian state of Sokovia. Yes, that caught me, too.
I think they're spelled differently.
But they sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
But they're going through a fight for independence. Their leader, Dmitry Belov, was supposedly killed in an airstrike, and his brother, Arkady, the two of them were in charge of the whole revolution, got captured and tried for war crimes. And with that, the war is over.
Yeah, they missed an opportunity to say it ended with the Sokovia Accords.
Anyway, so 17 years later, we have some kids playing football in an alley. Someone bursts out of a nearby building, and they're chased by a big thug, and they almost escape, but then they're hit by a van, and this guy gets tortured, and we see Arcady's there, and he's like, I want to know where he is.
So Arcady is played by Ray Stevenson.
Mm-hmm. The late, great Ray Stevenson.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he die? When was this? Oh, 2018.
This is 2018. This is a while ago.
And it was set, I think, in 2016. And I will explain why later.
But yeah, we cut over to London, where Mike Knox,
mm-hmm.
Played by Dave Bautista, arrives. He doesn't like football, calls it soccer.
Yeah, there's an exchange in the cab where he says that. And here's something I want you international travelers to try for yourself, okay?
Sure.
If a cab driver or a bartender or a tour guide, whoever, asks you where you're from, try saying from the States, like Mike does in this movie. I will bet you a decent amount of money that they will not just let that go. They will always follow up by saying, where in the States? Try it for yourself.
Hmm. Okay.
I'm just saying, my sister and I went all over Dublin, and every time someone asked us, we would always have to follow up by saying, Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a cool line here where he says, you visiting family? And he says, I used to have a brother. I assume not literally his brother, but maybe.
Maybe. And yeah. So we meet Danny, who's a teenage girl. She's fighting with her mom, texting her boyfriend, sneaking out. And as she's about to sneak out, she gets caught by Mike, who is her uncle. She does this reverse headbutt move that apparently her dad taught her. He's like, use your head.
Yeah, I was like, that's definitely going to come up later, which it did. There's a funny conversation where he wants her to come with him to a soccer game. And she says, I'm grounded. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're literally sneaking out of the house right now.
Why that's are you a this conversation? Fair point. But yeah, Mike talks to the mom, who's, you know, his old friend's wife or widow, and she runs the pub that they live upstairs from. Apparently Danny's dad was Mike's partner in the military, and now Mike goes from war zone to war zone as like a, seems they don't specify, is he like a private military contractor?
They don't specify. I also didn't think they literally meant war zones, but maybe they did. I mean, he is a soldier.
They kind of say, later on, when we get a bit of background on him, they say that. And next we see bearded Pierce Brosnan in a flat cap going into a stadium. Now, this is the European semifinals.
Okay, I have a couple of things first.
Sure.
So first of all, I have a prediction on this part in my notes, which is there's going to be an Andy-related twist. Andy being Danny's father who died in the war.
Sure.
I thought he was going to be revealed to be the villain or something. And that never happened. Or there was going to be some sort of dark secret about him. But I guess it's not that kind of movie. Also, I was wondering, why does Mike take Danny to the soccer game if he doesn't like soccer?
Because
they explain it later. It's because Andy likes it.
Yeah. And he would used to take his daughter to all the football games. And so he's trying to carry on because he feels responsible.
Yeah.
It's West Ham versus Dynamo, who's from the team, or Dynamo FC from Sokovia. The Dynamo fans are kind of crazy.
At this point, I was like, so yeah, Dynamo is fictional, obviously, because Sokovia is also fictional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Mike already loses Danny as they're trying to head into the stadium.
Yeah, they meet Brandon, her piece of shit. I don't know if he's her. Is he her boyfriend?
Yeah, he's her boyfriend.
Okay, then yes.
Yeah. And we also see some sketchy looking guys with press badges entering the stadium. So Mike does not like Brandon.
They keep saying that Danny's 15. They say it like four times, just so that you really know for sure.
Mm-hmm. The stadium is pretty packed. I think the closest comparison to that kind of game I've been to is when I went to the MLS playoffs in 2018. It was here at DC at Audi Field. DC United was playing Columbus Crew. I think it went to penalties. And so that crowd was so hyped, so pumped. I think the first game I went to for DC United was actually when we clinched the playoffs. And so I was that kind of intensity and audience is just a lot of fun.
Yeah. By the way, did you even attempt to go to any World Cup games in Boston?
No. I got some family up in New England, and I was, 4 years ago, I was like, oh yeah, Kokoro will be almost four. We could definitely go up there. And then ticket prices came out and it's ridiculous. So, and also it's even ridiculous to just get to the stadium too. So no, I did not.
Yeah. When I saw they had games in Philadelphia, I was like, far. Okay.
Those prices were ridiculous too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they're sitting in their seats and then Danny gets sad about her dad. And
I actually liked this conversation, to jump in, where she was like, why did he prioritize people we don't know in a foreign country over his own family? And Uncle Mike did not have good answers to her questions at all.
No, not really.
You could have been like, it's the job, you serve your country, you go where they tell you to go.
I mean, I'm sure that's all the sort of stuff that she's heard plenty of times before. And he didn't want to just give a canned answer. He wanted to be honest. Because he feels bad about it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he's here. So she asks him to get her a hot dog. And as soon as she does, her boyfriend texts her to come over to his section.
And she immediately does.
Yeah. And so when he's at the hot dog vendor, Mike's detective vision turns on. Where he sees the Russian prison tats on someone who's badging into like a private box. And that
I actually like this part because from what I know of people who serve overseas, they're always in a hyper state of focus, especially when they just come back.
Yeah. So that guy hacks into the CCTV. I don't remember what his name. I keep calling him Arcady's IT guy.
Well, it's funny. The computer literally says mainframe on the screen. I found that very amusing.
So they go into the control room, black out the entire stadium, and he rewinds the CCTV a few minutes so that his people can come in.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone thinks it's a power surge. Here's a question for you. They're going to control the entire control room.
Mm-hmm.
Why back up the film?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe they thought someone was going to spot them before they were able to take over the control room.
Maybe.
Which really is giving those soccer security officials a lot of credit.
They've got to control 35,000 lives every Saturday, Sunday, etc. So I think they've got to have it on lockdown.
Mm.
But yeah, so the Russian baddies Sokovian baddies get ready to infiltrate. There's one crazy Sokovian girl, Tatiana.
I love that she's named Tatiana. I always associate the name with strippers. I don't know why.
I associate it with From Russia with Love. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty different. Yeah.
Yeah. And I knew a Tatiana once.
That sounds like something James Bond would say.
Not Russian, actually, or Sokovian, or any Eastern Bloc, actually. Think about it. Yeah.
It's just a name. Sometimes it's just a name.
Anyway, so they start to take over the control room, and now no one in the stadium has any contact with the outside world. Arcadic threatens the goal commander, who is the person in charge, and threatens his family, and they lock down the whole stadium.
There's also a part where he slaps the controller, and it looks extremely fake. It looks like stage fighting out of some sort of community theater production. Okay, so Christian, does this premise make sense to you? Did it hold together? You could have 35,000 people, and their phones all go down, and no one tries to leave the stadium, and no one ever finds out.
So this is 2018. While we were still really connected to our phones, I feel like Instagram, you know, it was a thing, but live streaming and all that sort of, like, people like live streaming from a game or something like that was not a big thing. And we see people like complaining, but also this is a football. These are two giant football fandoms colliding in for the semifinals. So their focus is all on the game.
Okay. That's how we explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there are still people upset about it, as we see later, but they want their team to go all the way through, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's the premise of the movie. I'm sure you could do that with Die Hard as well.
Danny finds her boyfriend and ignores a call from Mike, and the terrorists blow the cell tower in the stadium, and all the networks go down. And we find out Arcady is looking for his brother, Dimitri, via facial recognition.
This also doesn't make a ton of sense. Not the facial recognition part. I don't know if we want to go into this right now. It's revealed at the end of the movie that they don't want to kill him. Okay? I assumed he was in hiding because he thought the Sokovians were going to try to assassinate him because he's this political dissident guy. But instead, they just want to give him a big hug and say, let's reignite the revolution.
So okay. I think he's in hiding from both sides, because he's in hiding from the Russians too.
There you go. Yeah. Okay, sure, that's fine. And we learn later that he gets some help from spies. That's why it's a spy movie. Yeah.
I was like, I've seen this before. I knew there was a tie-in, and I remember there are spies in this, so it counts. I could not remember. Was he like Special Forces or like SAS or what the American equivalent is, like, does that make it? I know there's a spy, and we'll get to it when we get to it. But I was like, I'm pretty sure there was. And I kept getting worried as the movie went on. Like, I'm pretty sure there's spies in here somewhere.
Right. So, but anyway, getting back to Dimitri and Arcady. So if Arcady just wanted to talk with Dimitri, this plan is insane. Also, how did he know that he was here at the soccer stadium? Oh, it's because he loves soccer, right?
That's he loves soccer. And also, he tortured that guy. And somehow we don't know who that guy is, but somehow he knew.
Or how he knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. It's an insane movie, so it makes sense that an insane plan fits an insane movie, but still. I just felt like I had to mention it.
Yeah, yeah. So you were saying people complaining about service? Yeah, so we get some old-fashioned racism at an Indian staffer at the stadium, Faisal.
I thought he was Arab.
Oh, is he? No, you're right. Well,
I mean, his name is Faisal. Know. That's not an Indian name.
His last name's Khan.
I mean, maybe he's probably Pakistani because it's Breton. We have that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's shitty. But then later, the old lady that is abusing him leaves and he starts yelling at her, this is emotional terrorism. And you're don't yell about terrorism in the middle of a crowded soccer stadium. What's wrong with you? Right.
Well, the actor Amit Shah was born in Enfield, England. His parents were originally from Kenya, and his grandparents are from India.
Oh, okay, there you go.
He's Indian. Right. Yeah. Mike goes to ask Faisal for help finding Danny. Faisal radios the control room, and Arcady tells the goal commander to ignore the radio. And then Dynamo gets a goal, and everyone's upset, and it's a whole big thing. And I really enjoy the echoes and synergy between the football game and what's happening in the movie.
Yeah, they don't sustain that for the whole movie.
They really go for it.
On the last part, yeah, when they go into the final score.
Yeah. And there's... hey, that's the name of the movie. So Faisal takes Mike up to the control room, and the goon is about to refuse him entry when Mike intimidates him and then lets them in the elevator to go up. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Winter Soldier style elevator fight.
Well, yeah, I like all this stuff before where he's like, Ron's sick today. And Faisal's like, okay, dude, whatever. And then Mike sees the badge.
And it was Ron's badge. Yep.
So yeah, we get our first fight. There's some blood spray. The movie's kind of violent. Mm-hmm. More than I was expecting. And it's also rated R, isn't it?
I have no idea, actually.
Oh, yeah, let me see. I think there's a lot of swearing.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah, so it's probably rated R.
Yep. So, you know, one of my big takeaway from this movie, Christian?
What's that?
This fight in the elevator and then the next one in the kitchen made me think Dave Bautista should have played Wolverine.
He's too big.
But he's short. He's like a little meatball that crashes into people.
Dave Bautista's like 6-something.
But he looks short in this movie.
Does he? He does not look short, no.
You don't think so?
Okay. And there's a reason I say that specifically when we get to that scene.
Oh, okay. But he does crash into people. You have to admit that that's true.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. After the elevator fight where they kill the goon, Faisal's starting to freak out. Mike tells him he's starting to radio out, and Michael tells him to get off the radio. I like this line. He says, I knew I should have taken that job at Arsenal.
Yeah, don't steal that. That's a good line, though. Well, you know, who did that remind you of? This is going to be a deep cut from our childhood. Childhood. I knew I should have. Do you remember the kid from the Magic School Bus? No, do you remember the kid from the Magic School Bus who would say, I knew I should have stayed home?
You mean
today?
Arnold?
Yeah. There you go.
Arnold. Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Actually, I just watched some of that. So, yes, that's it. Fresh in my memory. I was like,
Yep.
They go to take the body to the bathroom. They open the goon's bag, and it's got a bunch of C4. So they go to find a desk phone, but those are down too. Mike recalibrates the radio to a police frequency to try to contact the police. Mm-hmm. They're skeptical at first, but then please hold. And we get a fancy cello performance where we meet Steed, who is the chief of police for this area.
Steed, do you think that's a coincidence, by the way?
Oh, to be like, you know, what's his first name?
Is it John?
Yeah, right, John. Yeah, John Steed. Yeah, I did think about that.
Maybe a homage. Also, somewhere around here, there's a part where the police call the control room.
Yep.
And somehow the terrorists knew about the code phrase.
I like the use of the code phrase. There's no explanation how Arcady knows that.
Maybe the guy they tortured in the beginning knew that. He's like
that's a lot to know.
Stadium security insider.
Yeah, no. So Steed informs Mike that prank calls are a criminal offense and blocks the channel. And then Tatiana calls for a check-in from all the goons. And I like here, Mike is marking how many men they have by how many people she calls.
Didn't they do this in Die Hard as well?
I don't remember.
Or another act. There's some other action movie where the guy like makes marks on
probably
his arm.
And I think I feel like I've said this before, but I've actually never seen Die Hard.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It holds up pretty well. Yeah.
Maybe this Christmas I'll watch it for the first time since it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, that's what people say. They're trying to be funny. It got old like kind of a long time ago, but it's not going to stop.
Anyway, so Andre, who's the guy that they kill, doesn't check in, and Mike tries to fake it, but they quickly realize, no, that's not Andre. And so Mike and Faisal make a run for it. They use Ron's key card, but Arcady and his IT guy are able to track Ron's key card, and they lock down the key card and get them trapped in a kitchen.
Yeah, and then there's another Die Hard reference where they have a conversation with the hero, or the villain and the hero have a conversation over the radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Arcady is on the radio, wants them to surrender. Mike decides he's going to put Faisal into the dumbwaiter to get him out of there, gives him a picture of Danny so he can find her.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike takes out the two goons who are sent to get him in the kitchen with this really good fight. I love a good kitchen fight.
Even though it was pretty violent, it had fingers
in
off.
Deep fryers, gas explosions, classic frying pan.
He fights this one enormous guy, like this huge dude. He looks like a video game boss. There's a weird part where someone has a shotgun and they fire the shotgun and there's like a weird sound effect. Did you notice this? It's like, pfft. It should be like a boom.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. If you want to go back and rewatch it, try to notice that.
So Tatiana, apparently what the big guy was Tatiana's boyfriend, and she finds his body and she is pissed.
So another thing about the kitchen fight is obviously no one will ever do this as well as Jackie Chan, but Dave Bautista seemed really like a guy who was in over his head and was just barely surviving against these goons. I lost personally before he grabs a knife through the boiling oil.
Yeah. And once that went into the oil, into the deep fryer with the fingers, I'm like, all right, that's coming back, isn't it?
No, somebody's getting it back.
All right. Where were we?
So we were at the part, we already talked about it, where he throws the body out the window so that the cops know, just like in Die Hard.
And then pretty much immediately, the cops come, like real quick.
Yeah.
And they're still scanning for Dimitri up in the control room. Arcady says he wants to use more traditional methods. Doesn't specify what those mean.
I think it means threatening people.
So
exactly what he does.
Yeah. So Steed arrives, contacts Mike, tells him that there are 10 men left from the initial 13, and the terrorists go into the reporting studio. So this is apparently what he meant by more traditional methods. And he kills a bunch of staff and then makes a reporter read a statement that they demand Dmitry Belov and that there's C4 in the stadium. And if they don't get Dmitry by the time the match clock reaches 90 minutes, then they're going to blow the stadium. No cops, no contact with the outside. And then they kill the reporters.
Okay. So I am of two minds.
Okay.
I think this part is probably the best part of the movie. It's very scary. Mm-hmm. The football commentators just get straight up murdered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's effective. However, my brain then turns on and I'm like, how do you expect the outside world to find Dmitry? Dmitry is in the stadium and you just cut off contact with everyone in the stadium. And also your whole plan relies on the people in the stadium not knowing that they're being held hostage. How exactly are they supposed to find Dmitry?
They find that because they know that Dmitry was working with some governmental agency.
Correct.
And so it works because the very next scene we meet our spy, but very soon after that.
Yeah.
So Steele is outside. He tells them to clear the block, contact the SAS.
He just scrambled the SAS, which I thought was a cool line. It's not my favorite line, but I did like it.
Yeah. Faisal is looking for Danny. Crowd doesn't really know what's going on. Danny's boyfriend is trying to get in her pants. And, he's trying to get her drunk with this, bottle of liquor. And then she, grabs it, takes a huge swig of it, and says, I'm a pub kid. I've got high tolerance. So you're not going to get me drunk to take advantage of me.
I wonder how he was able to get that bottle of liquor into the stadium. Pretty impressive. Mm.
So Arcady is looking at Mike on CCTV, and he's looking for something to use against him.
Just like in Die Hard. Okay, I'm going to stop. That's it. That's probably enough.
I mean, we called it out at the top. It's Die Hard in a football stadium. So Steele contacts Arcady and he starts the usual by the book hostage negotiation techniques. I want some hostages released. And Arcady goes down all right, this is, if we go down this path, this is exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to pretend to release the hostage and then kill them right in front of you. And then you will be back here at square one.
Right.
And Steele is like, we just looked it up and Dmitry Belov is dead. And Arcady is like, all right, I'm working with someone stupider than I am. Don't call back until you've caught up.
Nice. Yeah, this guy's a good villain. He knows what's going on.
Yeah, and apparently the SAS are 5 minutes out.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Agent Cho has been sent over with orders from the top.
Correct. Agent Cho with an ambiguous accent. You don't know what country he's from.
I was wondering about that. And we'll get to it at a later point of what country he's supposed to be representing.
I assumed the United States.
I, at first, just assumed MI6 or MI5 for that matter, since we're in the UK. And so he's played by a Hong Kong actor. So I wasn't sure what accent he was supposed to be had. Like, I just kind of accepted it as like a Hong Kong. Hi, puppy. Go on. Sorry. I just assumed it as a Hong Kong accent. Maybe he was from Hong Kong, but came over to the UK now and he works for British intelligence.
I think that works.
Yeah. But then later on, it plays out differently. So I'm like, maybe he is supposed to be CIA. So Cho wants to see the body, and he realizes it's Anton Ivanov. And Cho briefs Steele on Dmitry and Arkady Belov. Apparently the revolution was out of control. They were killing more than it was saving. So he contacted Cho's people, and they faked his death and gave him plastic surgery to look like Pierce Brosnan. And without Dmitry, the whole revolution failed. If Dmitry is killed on TV, it would destabilize the entire Sokovia region and even more worse.
Okay, so we got multiple people coming together with different agendas. Though it doesn't quite follow through. I guess it does follow through well enough. Yeah.
So Arkady's IT found out Mike's background and Danny's background, and this is where we get the ex-soldier, but he goes from war zone to war zone. So this, I kind of assume he's like private military contractor or something.
Okay, that's reasonable. So. Yeah.
And Danny's got like a bunch of arrests for underage drinking and other stuff. I forget what else.
Yeah. Grew up on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah. So Danny is trying to get away from her boyfriend, and she punches him and knees him in the groin and gets away. And then Arkady has an announcement over the speakers for Danny to come to gate 8. And we see that there's 2 minutes of extra time at the half.
This part is great. It makes sense that he would try to do that. And it makes sense that she would follow it. Because why else would she suspect something's wrong? She probably just thought Uncle Mike was trying to catch up with her again. And there's really good tension where they're both trying to get to gate 8 before she does.
So Mike realizes the trap. He tells Faisal to try to find her. Mike then sees Danny from afar and tries to get to her. And then Arkady sees Mike going to Danny and has the gold commander send his officers to go after Mike. And they take him down right as he's about to get to Danny.
Right. But he fights a bunch of cops at this part.
Yeah.
And then they forget that the cops are looking for him after this part. It never comes up again.
Well, yeah.
But I still appreciate the smart bad guys who know what their resources are and then use them.
And so Arkady's men who are in orange vests are right about to grab Danny when West Ham scores! Woo!
Yeah,
and Faisal uses the distraction of all the supporters because they're in the right near the supporter section, and they've got a giant West Ham flag, which begs the question of, all right, people under the flag, how do they see the game?
I don't think it stays there forever and ever.
I don't know. It seemed to be out like most of the time. But anyways, so they're carrying that big flag. And so Faisal uses that distraction to grab Danny and bring her under the big flag and then get away. And it's halftime. And I like that they're using the game. They're using it. All right. They were down one, but now they've equalized because they've got Danny back.
Yeah, that's true. That's an interesting point. Also, should we talk about they use, it looks like, stock footage of players.
That's not stock footage.
Or maybe it's used to look like a stock footage.
Maybe.
But it's not. You know what I mean?
No. So, and I was going to say this for Spy Facts versus Spy Fiction, but they actually did get some former West Ham players, apparently Tony Cote and Rufus Brevet, to make some cameos. And I know, they did film actually at the stadium.
No, I mean, you could tell. You could tell.
Yeah. So I believe that they actually did have a real game going on. And let's see, where were we?
I also have the superintendent dies.
Oh yes. The gold commander dies.
Yeah.
And Faisal brings Danny to Mike. And Mike has Faisal try to find a way to get out. And they're about to use these turnstiles and use a trick to get them open. But they notice there's a trigger on top of them that leads to the C4.
Right. So thousands of people are at risk now.
Yeah. And Mike calls Steed and gets online with the SAS. And apparently they're rigged to blow if they're tampered with, so they need the remote switch that Arkady has. So now we've got a MacGuffin.
Yeah, besides Dmitry, who is like a human MacGuffin. Yeah, everybody's fighting over him.
But apparently where the C4 is right under the control room, and thousands of people would die from that blast. But Steed is like, wait, why would they put it right under them? They'll die too, and Agent Cho makes an offhand remark that no, he'll use it as a distraction and then escape in the chaos.
Yep. Which is exactly what he does later, sort of.
So Mike says he's going to try to get to Dimitri before Arcadia does, and they're going to get him to the roof if the SAS can bring a chopper to get him, get Dimitri and Danny. And the chopper will be in position in 12 minutes because they think it'll take 7 minutes to get Dimitri and 5 to get him out.
Yeah, because that's exactly how it's going to work. They're so British, right? Everything's on a schedule.
So the control room spots Mike, and they figure out that he's going after Dimitri, so they send everyone. Mike grabs a motorcycle from one of the garages.
Well, it's a motorcycle that the terrorists used to get in.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay, I was trying to figure where they were from.
Yeah, it's a setup, but it's a good setup and a payoff.
Yeah. And they go after him. Faisal's directing him via radio. I got some real, like, Ethan Hunt Benji vibes here.
So for the most part, except for stunts like this and when he jumps off of stuff and when he falls off of stuff, I like how he mostly does things that are plausible, mostly.
It's not plausible to ride a motorcycle inside of a
without football crashing? Stadium.
He's a private military contractor. Action hero. Huh. Is this the first time we've had, like, a private military contractor as, like, a hero?
Probably, but there's a lot of movies that have
that. And I'm just like, I feel like usually they're, like, you know, villains are not as good as regular just military.
What about the Soldier of Fortune series?
I don't know. Here we get some more, like, the commentary overlaying is, like, perfectly timed to what's going on with it with Mike, which is great. Right. He apparently was supposed to go downstairs, but he actually went upstairs. So now he has to do a 60-foot drop from the roof. And as this is happening, West Ham is taking a corner, and they use that commentary right as they take the corner, and he jumps off, and it's great. I love it.
That's your favorite part.
I just love the time. Like, you're using the setting that you've set up, and don't just say, all right, it's here. They tie it and weave it all in so it all blends together, which I think is really fun. But... yeah, Mike makes the jump as West Ham scores again from that corner.
I wasn't really paying attention to the game, but I'm glad you were.
Well, I mean, you have, like I said, you have that environment you've set up there. You should definitely use it. Yeah. So they do. So Mike finds Dimitri, and we've got a fun Russian accent from Brosnan.
By fun, you mean... like, terrible.
Yes.
The movie does answer a question, though. I was thinking, like, why would Dimitri just agree to help him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's in it for him?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Mike points a gun at him and says, I'm not asking.
Yeah.
So I guess it answers that question. Well, also, if these terrorists are trying to kill him, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah. So Arcady sees them on CCTV. And then, so Mike, pulls the gun on him and tells him, we're going. And everything seems to be going great, but unfortunately, Tatiana finds Faisal and Danny, and Faisal stands up to her, but then gets immediately knocked out. And the control room is tracking Mike and Dimitri. There's a big fight in the concourse, and they get pinned down in the bathroom, and Mike remembers that he has C4 in his pocket from Andrei, and puts the C4 he has on top of his cell phone, and then throws it at the goons, and then shoots the phone so that the phone can act as a trigger for the C4.
This is a little implausible.
Yeah.
Also, if you set off C4 in a room that's like a bathroom, like an enclosed room, the shockwave would definitely kill everybody.
Yeah.
But it is a movie.
So Mike gets to the roof with Dimitri. The chopper is there, but there's no Danny. Arcady over the radio reveals that he has Danny. And he's going to kill her if Dimitri gets on the chopper. Agent Cho is in the chopper. They see that he's not going to give him Dimitri. So he orders the SAS to kill Dimitri while they still have a chance because he cannot fall into Arcady's hands. Steele tries to belay Cho's order, but apparently Cho has jurisdiction?
Well, there's some pretty terrible acting where they yell at each other about who has jurisdiction.
Yeah.
I should write this part down, the dialogue.
Yeah.
Oh, also, they do hand slicing. They talk like this. I think Agent Cho does this.
So the SAS fire, but Mike saves him. and Arcady's goons, you know, shoot at the chopper so they leave the stadium.
This part was pretty sweet, right?
And this is where I'm like, realize, is Cho supposed to be American?
Well, yeah, at this point, we're sort of beyond that.
Yeah.
But I like the two sides firing at each other. And my note here is like, well, okay, just bring Arcady Dimitri. Like, who cares?
Wait, what do you mean?
Kill everybody?
Oh, bring him to because he'll probably still kill everybody.
Yeah, this is going to happen either way. You might have a chance.
So, but Cho accuses the SAS of missing on purpose. It's like, how did you miss at that range? Like, I appreciate that they, you know, have an explanation for that.
When it was that? They missed on purpose?
They missed on purpose, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And Steel punches Cho. And he kind of disappears from the movie after this.
Mm-hmm. Cho is the real Littlefinger from the opening of The Dark Knight Rises.
There you go. Yeah. So Danny gets threatened by Tatiana. Mm-hmm. And then Arcady tells Mike to bring him Dimitri or he'll hurt Danny. And then has Tatiana cut Danny's cheek. And mm-hmm. then Dimitri and Mike have this one-on-one where Dimitri tells a story about chickens he had as a child. What do you think about this part?
I don't like this part.
Yeah, so he's to, you know, sacrifice for the greater good. And then Mike tells Dimitri the broad strokes of how Andy died. I was thinking we'd get more detail here, but we don't. We just get a, he died under my command. It's my fault kind of thing. It's like, all right, I want more details.
Come on.
Maybe a flashback. Come on.
Pierce Brosnan was really wasted in the movie. And I know that I guess they're trying to give him something to do, but it doesn't work.
Well, I mean, he got to have a fun Russian accent, so I think he had, and wear a flat cap and watch football. So I think he was fine.
Okay.
So Mike says they're going to do an exchange, Dimitri for Danny. There's a northwest and south northwest corner and a southeast corner that meet on a bridge. He says, "Oh, very Checkpoint Charlie of you."
Which is literally what happens. It's like the Bridge of Spies.
Yeah. Which was not a Checkpoint Charlie, was it? That's a different
bridge. Bridge of Spies? No, it was somewhere else. Yeah. But they do the walk.
They do the walk, yes.
Bridge of Spies,
So there's 15 minutes left in the match. So Danny gets sent across first. This is where she has a better understanding of what happened to her father. And she's not going to go if it's at the expense of all the people in the stadium. But then Arcady, and there's a really touching moment, and then Arcady shoots a gun right next to her ear, and she's like, okay, I'm going.
Yeah, now she's deaf.
So, and she goes across the bridge, and she sees Dimitri as they cross, except there's lights behind him, so he's planned this out pretty well. There's lights behind him, and you only see a silhouette. And then, as soon as I see the silhouette, I'm like, that's not Pierce Brosnan.
Yep. And his own brother doesn't recognize him.
He is too big. He is way too big to be Pierce Brosnan. Like,
yeah.
You know, Brosnan's tall, but he's not that tall and he's not that beefy. But it's definitely Mike wearing Dimitri's hat and jacket.
And so I wondered, like, why did Mike do this? I guess, like we'd said, like, if he gets Dimitri, he'll just kill everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he has a fighting chance. He can, like, surprise him.
Yeah. It's all the element of surprise. And also, once they meet up, he has Danny run to Dimitri on the other end, and then the chopper comes back and takes out a bunch of Arcady's men. So I was like, oh, I did not remember this. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah, there's a couple of twists and turns in the movie, but why didn't Arcady hit the switch on his wrist?
Well, we find out why.
Okay, well, why don't you just tell me why?
Because there is no dead man switch.
Okay, it's not true.
No. So we'll get to that in a very quickly. So Arcady and Mike have this big fight and Mike gets the kill switch away from him. And then Tatiana tags in and then Mike falls off the roof but grabs onto the West Ham banner.
I like it when he's screaming when he falls.
In my memory, I was like, and this is where a bunch of people actually realize what's going on. But apparently, no, they just see someone fall off the building and don't look up.
Well, those soccer matches can get kind of crazy.
It's true. It's 15 minutes left. And then Tatiana finds so he swings across to the Jumbotron. Tatiana finds her way over. They have a big fight. They both fall off the Jumbotron, but Tatiana dies. And then he looks in his hand and unscrews what he thought was a kill switch, but there's nothing there. And then she reveals that there is no kill switch. That's why.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's like her dying thing. Yeah. Also, Mike is totally willing to hit a girl, we discover.
Well, I mean, a crazy Sokovian girl who's gonna kill you. Yeah, sure. Mm. But just when you think things are going great again, Dimitri and Danny get captured by one of Arcady's goons. I think it's his last one left, his IT guy.
Yep, the last one.
Yeah, and they brought to the control room where Arcady says he's actually not going to kill Dimitri. This is what we were talking about. He's going to use him to restart the revolution. And Dimitri says he'll do anything to save his country. And Arcady says, all right, prove it. Kill the girl. Mm. So he gives him a gun. And instead, and he starts pointing it at Danny, and instead decides, I'm going to kill myself, because then you can't use me. Why not kill Arcady?
Yeah, good question. I guess he doesn't have it in him to kill his brother,
Yeah, that's what I understand.
But this scene was good, but I also have another question, which is, what does Arcady know that there's no kill switch?
Yeah.
He's just so cool that he knows there's 5 minutes left of the bomb, and he's just taking his time. He's not in a hurry.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah.
And then in rage, Arcady kills his own tech guy.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. And I'm still enjoying the commentator's echoes. Faisal and Mike are on the radio. We've got 4 minutes of playtime left. There's no kill switch, and they need to get everyone out of the stands. And so Faisal is trying to get people out. So they just need to evacuate that one section, which is where all of the West Ham supporters are.
I don't know. This part goes off the rails completely.
Oh, so he decides he's going to pretend to be a terrorist and shout Allahu Akbar to get them to move.
So first of all, they're trying to prevent a panic, I thought. Wouldn't that cause a panic?
It would cause a panic to get the... Well...
Yes, it would.
And no. Yes, it would.
It obviously would. It obviously would. If they believed him, which they do. And then also, the police don't tackle him. The police don't do anything.
They're... like a snake where its head cut off with, no gold commander give them orders, and now they're not doing anything.
So none of these thousands and thousands of West Ham people tell a cop this guy is yelling Allahu Akbar, he is a bomb.
No.
Yeah. They all leave. They all leave this game they care about.
They try to leave. Arcady gets on the Jumbotron. He still has Danny. He says he's going to be a martyr for his cause and runs... Mike sees this happening, runs on the pitch to try to get towards Danny. There's a ticking clock, and the C4 blows, destroying the control room.
The whole section.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Arcady and Danny are both seemingly dead. Mm. And Steel has the SAS blow the gates to let the people out of the stadium. Danny's really distraught in the middle of the field.
This would also cause a panic, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
A gigantic explosion happens in the stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at this point, they're trying to get everyone out.
There's sad
and
music.
There's the
sad
choral
music.
Singing. Yeah.
You think Danny's dead.
Arcady's image is frozen on the Jumbotron. And then detective vision kicks in. And he's looking at it and realizes in the background, he can see the clock. And it only says 85 minutes and not 90 minutes. Not full time.
Yeah.
So he realized it was pre-recorded. Apparently, I don't remember what time was. Maybe it was before his IT guy died.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. He's had time to do it.
Yeah. But he manages to find Arcady and Danny as they're escaping in the crowd. They've got each other at gunpoint. And so it came back to the use your head.
I guess also this is why he has Danny still alive.
Just in case this happens. Yeah.
Though it doesn't make sense. Why would they be on the field?
Why would they be on the field?
Yeah, because if he's
in the
control room.
They weren't on the field. They're escaping. They're going out the exits.
Oh, that's where this... My memory, this took place on the field.
No, he was running towards the exits because he knew this is what... Like we said, Agent Cocho called this out. This is what he would do.
Mm, okay, fine.
But this reminded me of, I don't know how well you remember the second Jack Reacher film.
I don't think I've seen either Jack Reacher film.
What? I thought you came with us to see Jack Reacher Never Go Back.
Is that the one where he uses the salt shaker to punch through a car window? Okay, then I have seen it.
Yeah.
That's the only part I remember.
All right. It's the same thing where there's a girl who's taught one specific move, and then Reacher says, if that's all you got, then we're already dead. At the very end, he's captured by the bad guy and says the phrase, it's like we're already dead. And then looks at the girls and she does the move.
Oh, okay.
And then
it's pretty
manages
much like
to
that.
Get out. And then Reacher shoots him, or I forget what happened, something. So yeah, so it's the exact same setup. Like, all right, you've set up the move, now you use it. And then she back headbutts Arcady, then Mike shoots Arcady in the chest and then in the head.
Yeah.
And then Danny runs to hug Mike. Where's Faisal? Apparently he survived the explosion.
Which is also absurd, but what else is new?
But he was under some rubble and he saved the old woman who... I didn't even connect it. That's the same old woman who berated him in the beginning.
That's
and
correct,
refused to move from her seat when he was shouting.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny's mom, who had been out, like, as soon as she saw Arcadia's broadcast, had come to the stadium and been waiting outside the stadium, finds them. Big group hug.
And then the movie ends suddenly.
And, well, not before Steele is in the chopper and thanks them for their help. But what happens to the game? Do they have to reset this whole game? What happens?
Reset the game? The game ended.
90 minutes. All right, you're right. Never mind. It did end right at full time, didn't it? There was no.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought they.
Well, don't they have the penalty time?
No. Oh yeah, they should have had extra time. Yeah, that's you're right. They should have had extra.
One martini. The movie doesn't make any sense. Where's the extra time?
Stop it. Well, not extra time. Stop. Extra time is different. Stoppage time. They should have had stoppage time. You're right. That was like there was a reason. I was like, did they have to reset the game? Because there would have been stoppage time. But with that, our movie ends.
It does. It's the finals. And what is the final score, Christian? Do you remember?
2-1. 2-1. West Ham's Dynamo.
Spy fact versus spy fiction.
Okay, so now it is time for our spy fact versus fiction. I can go first if you like.
How about I'll go first because I've got more football-related stuff and yours is probably more spy-related.
You're correct.
So let's go with the football stuff first. But first of all, we addressed this. Sokovia. Is this in the MCU? Who knows? Maybe. So for those who don't know what we're talking about, Sokovia features in... was Age of Ultron, but it is also brought up again
in Civil War.
And it is a state a nation in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which is where Wanda and Pietro are from.
Correct.
But let's go to some actual real world stuff. So the Bolin Ground Stadium.
Sorry, keep going.
You were going to do this,
too? I was going to tell you about the Bowling Ground Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, so this is where West Ham had played their matches. It was open from 1904 to 2016, and it was replaced by London Stadium in nearby Stratford. Well, actually, I still play at London Stadium. But West Ham, let's talk about West Ham United FC. That was an interesting choice for of the football club to be centered around. Actually, the main reason why it was specifically West Ham is because they were going to demolish the stadium already, and they wanted to make some extra money. So they decided, all right, I think the owner of the club was like, all right, let's have a movie film here. So they set the whole thing around West Ham.
Mm.
Now, West Ham unfortunately has issues in the last season because they now have been relegated from the Premier League.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who have seen Ted Lasso, relegated means you're out of the league, basically.
You're brought down to the next tier. Yeah. Champions League. Obviously, as we said, Dynamo FC does not exist because there is no Sokovia. But Dynamo FC does actually refer... There are a bunch of clubs that are named Dynamo FC, including a bunch in Africa, Asia, and Europe. Actually, including multiple in Russia.
That's unfortunate, because I thought the name Dynamo sounded made up.
Well, there's also a couple in America, too. Houston Dynamo and Carolina Dynamo. So that's what I have for that. And then I have... Mercury switches. They mentioned that, the C4 is rigged with mercury switches. And so it's, so they can't be tampered with. And so a mercury switch is an electrical switch that opens and closes a circuit when a small amount of the liquid mercury connects metal electrodes to close the circuit. And so there's several basic designs, but they all share the common design of non-eroding switch contacts. So, because of the way that they're set up, that you can't really tamper with them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's science.
And that's what I got for spy fact versus spy fiction.
Okay, very nice. So I Googled the phrase goal controller. It doesn't seem
goal
to be
commander.
Real. Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. It's and then I looked up C4, but I couldn't really understand how C4 works by Tom Harris. It's basically you need to have a plastic binder material to coat the explosive material, and then you send a circuit through it, as far as I can tell, which is basically what he did.
I was trying to look up if you could set one off with a cell phone and a bullet, and now I'm probably on a list somewhere.
Uh-oh. I assume no, you cannot.
No.
That's kind of the whole purpose of C4. But anyway, so something about the Bowling Ground. You said it was demolished in 2016?
Maybe 2018.
Well, according to Wikipedia, the last match was on 10 May 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so presumably the movie takes place in 2016.
No, yeah. Oh, that's why you said yes. Yeah, it kind of has to, doesn't it?
Which is interesting because on 22 May 2017, as you may recall, what?
Well, go ahead.
You may recall, 22 people were killed and over 1,000 injured in Islamic terrorist suicide bombing of Manchester Arena in Manchester, England.
Oh,
this is the Ariana Grande concert.
I forgot about that. No, I thought you were going to, when you started going on, I thought you were going to be like, well, the day of the week doesn't match up for
I'm not that much of a nitpicker. Okay. This isn't a Star Wars movie. And then the other thing it reminded me of, and I'm not going to talk about too much, was the Grand Mosque seizure. Do you remember that back from when we did Argo?
I was just saying that's Argo, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea of holding hundreds of people hostage at the same time, but in that case, they were aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all that I have.
Favorite quotes.
All right. Should we go into our favorite quotes?
I can go first.
Sure.
There's actually some decent dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some good humor, including from Dave Bautista. Like he says, I don't come here for you. I just come for the shitty warm pints of beer you serve. And then later, Danny says, we have good seats. He says, we can see all the fake injuries from up close.
That was one of mine. Yeah.
Did I steal that?
Yeah.
He says, I saw a guy do it on TV once. I don't remember what it was he was doing.
It was adjusting the frequency.
With like a screwdriver?
Yeah. Probably from MacGyver.
There's a part I like where Arcady tells his terrorist to look for the Asian. Do you remember that line?
That's right. I was like, are they talking about Agent Cho? Oh, they mean Faisal.
Yeah, because in the UK, Asian means South Asian.
Yeah.
Unlike in the United States, where it means East Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And I will do one more where I think Arcady, I'll give him the last line. He says, police are outside, all of them, it would seem.
That's pretty good.
Good villain line.
Yeah. So I've got a few. I think it's either Arcady or Tatiana, where they say, is he police? And I was like, no, police. Oh, someone else. Maybe one of the Russian goes, police don't leave dead bodies in toilet cubicle.
That's true. They don't.
From Brosnan or Dmitry, when they're cornered in a bathroom, and says, they have more bullets than you. And then they shoot a bunch. Is it? They really do have more bullets than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the villains get some good lines.
Well, he's not. Would you consider Dmitry a villain?
He's like neutral.
Yeah. And then I get when Steele punches out Cho. He says, it's not. This is why I thought Cho was American. Because he says, all over a soccer game. And he says, it's not soccer. It's football. Punch.
I mean, I think that seems like pretty clear evidence that
why I was like, is he American? Because he calls it Saga. There it is. So he's CIA. So he's there. We go. I knew there was a reason I thought he was American.
An American would call it soccer?
Exactly. It's just us. It's really just us. And then another from Steele. He's thanking. It's like the last line of the film. It says, do me a favor, Steele. If we reach the final, stay at home.
Ratings.
Okay, so now it's time for our ratings on a scale of 1 to 10 martinis, 1 being as bad as Avengers 1998 and 10 being even better than Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. How would we rate final score, not the final score?
All right. What is your final score, Zach?
Okay, so, nice. That's awesome. So I wrote down the pros and cons. So the pros is Dave Bautista does a great job. He's a wrecking ball of a human.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what he does, maybe 75% of what he does, makes sense and holds together, I think. And there's also some good jokes. Mm-hmm. The cons are the plot is a lot of contrivances, weak characters. Mm-hmm. Pierce Brosnan is totally wasted, mm-hmm. and the premise is pretty shaky.
Okay.
I can't say I enjoyed the movie as a whole.
All right.
Like, there's parts I liked.
Okay.
And it's like, do I want to go with feelings or do I want to go with facts? Like, objectively, I don't feel like it's that good. But it's also not that bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give it a 4.5 martinis.
All right. A 4.5. That's all. Yeah. I understand it. For me,
It's definitely below average, but not too far.
I'm on the other end, but just slightly. I'm like, this is just, it's slightly above average. It's a fun, a fun, entertaining movie.
Mm.
It's not a great spy movie.
That is true. Yeah.
There are spies in here. I knew that that had justification. I knew I did. And so when Agent Cho showed up, I'm like, okay, good. I knew he was in here somewhere. There's a spy here somewhere.
Yeah.
Especially on the football high that I'm riding on with the World Cup. It's like, I needed something even after the group stage ended and I was like, wait, we don't have like 3 games every day? There's actually a day without football?
Mm.
What am I supposed to do?
Well, it synergized well with the current situation.
Yeah. So it felt good. I'm like, all right, I was really in the football mindset. I'm like, I think being in this mindset, I really appreciate it. Like, for me, I really did like how they, interwove and use the synergy of the, what is happening in the game to reflect what's happening with the Terry situation. Like when they equalize once, and then they get Danny back, or when, they make the corner at the same time as the jump happens. And then, the clock's running out on the game at the same time as the bomb. It's good. I thought that was really fun. But like I said, it's a dumb action movie that I enjoyed, but it's not a great movie. So I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 martinis.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Sounds reasonable. Cool. All right. Anything else?
No. I will say right here, we're recording before either the third place round or the final round or final match. So we'll see. Any predictions, Zach? I want your predictions.
Predictions.
Who's going to win England v. France for the third place prize?
I mean, I don't really know why you're asking me. I have no idea. I am a random person from off the street.
Let's talk about England versus France for the third place prize.
I guess I will pick England.
Okay. I am supporting England because I'm an England fan, and I'm hoping that they win because I think that England did a better showing against Argentina than, say, France did versus Spain in the semifinals.
Okay.
All right. So, but for the finals, who do you think is going to win for England versus Spain? That was wishful thinking. Argentina versus Spain.
I don't know who I think is going to win. I'd prefer Argentina to win.
What?
Based on nothing.
Okay. No, I'm rooting for Spain because after what happened with that England-Argentina game, I need Argentina to lose. In the words of General Hux, I don't need, Spain to win. I just need Argentina to lose.
You just want revenge.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll find out in about 24 hours.
Yeah, by the time this episode releases, we will know the final score.
The final score this time.
Yes. All righty. Well, thank you all for joining us. Hope you had fun with this, World Cup tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for other movies to watch with soccer in them, I have not seen Escape to Victory with Sylvester Stallone, but I've heard it highly recommended. So, like I said, maybe we'll save that for Women's World Cup next year. You can find us on social media at The Spy Fi Guys on Facebook, Blue Sky, YouTube, and Instagram, and our merch store at redbubble.com. Until next time, I'm Christian.
And I'm Zach.
And we are The Spy Fi Guys, signing off.
Thank you for listening to The Spy-Fi Guys. If you enjoyed our podcast, please be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. The theme song from this podcast is Mistake the Getaway by Kevin MacLeod from Incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Films, books, and television shows reviewed by our podcast are the intellectual property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended.
This is a personal podcast. Any views, statements, or opinions expressed in this podcast are personal and belong solely to the participants. They do not represent those of people, institutions, or organizations that the participants may or may not be associated with in a professional or personal capacity unless explicitly stated. Any views or opinions are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, or individual.
You can find our podcast on social media at The Spy-Fi Guys on Facebook, Blue Sky, YouTube, and Instagram.